Welcome to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. On today's North Coast Conversation, an in-depth discussion with Mark Adams, the Health Commissioner of Lorain County Public Health. And now, this week's North Coast Conversation. Got another visit with the folks in Lorain County Public Health, and this time around they've sent the health commissioner, not any of the other different departments. There are many different departments, Mark, that you have over there.
Well, there's
right?
six
of them?
Six different divisions, departments that are within the health department, and they're kind of standard with health departments, but yeah, usually I try to promote one of them coming out. I want them to get the experience.
Well, they're the ones that are sort of on the front lines.
They're
dealing
front
lines it daily, and they can kind of give those individual stories.
You are 100% correct. That's why I have them talk during the board meetings instead of me. They're the ones that do the work.
Again, Mark Adams, Health Commissioner, joining us. Looking back at the 2024, how does the health department evaluate a previous year? What's the standard for that?
Health departments are really built on what changes have we made in the community, and not just, you know, instead of it really being just how many grants did you get or how many, we at the health department look at what did we do with that and what changes did we actually make? What connections did we make in the community? What new partners have we brought on? So, because the more people that are involved, the more people are involved in changing the public health rather than it just being a department trying to change the public's health. So for us, one of the big things that we created in 2023 was this epidemiology team. And, you know, frankly, health departments themselves, we don't always get money to be able to bring in an epidemiologist. And what we did is we ended up writing a grant and getting some money to be able to bring on. We already had one, but we brought on two others. And really, a health department and the health of the public is run on data. Instead of guessing or supposing or using subjective, well, I think this or my neighbor's friend said this, we look at data and real data and tells us in real time what's going on in the community. What are we most affected with? What does the community want out of their public health, and what do they want out of their health systems? How many times do we have somebody going with gastric issues to the hospital? Now, we don't have names or anything like that, so I don't want anybody to worry about, you know, does it divulge names? That it doesn't get that deep. It's just numbers, the number of cases. So epidemiology itself is where we track disease within a community. How much is there and what disease is it? So it's, you know, for us, it's like my dream team. There's one that's one person out of the three-person team is loves data. One loves telling a story and the other loves mapping it. And they've been able to produce these really good maps that we put out to the public for everybody to see about, and these good data sheets on what's going on in the community what's a topic that we need to be paying attention to.
How do you get the public to pay attention to it?
Well, we use multiple different methods of doing that. Of course, social media, the web. We also will even use, depending on what the situation, billboards. We also communicate through the partners. Going back to where instead of it just being 100 and some people in a building trying to get information out to the public, it's really just getting down to the grassroots organizations as well, working directly in churches and everywhere else, and radio, all of those partners be able to say, hey, this is where we're at in the health of our community. What can we do? What can we do to help you? What do you want to see out of us? And what can we do to help make it better?
So part of the initial part with the data and determining it, then you know where to put your resources.
100% correct. You're spot on with that. That's the best part is sometimes, you know, I come from a former department where we had to share one person with six health departments. And, you know, the data is what drives your activities. This is where you place your people, your frontline people that you had mentioned in the very beginning, the ones doing all the work. Data is what tells us where they need to be. And if you don't have a good data team, or if you have to share that data team, it makes it very difficult to make, and you have to make those I think decisions. And here is where we can make those I know decisions. And instead of being a reactive department, We are a proactive department. We know what's happening in the emergency room that day. If there's a disease outbreak, we're watching just about anything you can imagine just to see, is there an anomaly? Is there something that we need to get notification out to people to say, hey, can we catch a foodborne before it becomes an outbreak multi-state? Yeah, we can do that. And we're confident in that.
I heard that from, I would say, two commissioners before you. The initial, when a lot of the social media started developing, even in Lorain County, the department was sort of monitoring some of social media to know someone's not feeling well. There's a discussion about some other thing. Is there some sort of foodborne illness? And mainly sure. through that sort of tracking. And well, I thought that was fascinating.
We still do that. Yeah. And maybe not for the disease tracking piece, but definitely do that for
other food things or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
So where do they eat? Who's eating what? What happened there?
Right.
You know, who's going to a hospital on one, you know, separate complaint, but you don't know that these things are connected until you can do that.
Again, yeah, you're 100% correct on that. And we'll even search that to see if there's a connection. But we also use that social media piece to look at what's happening in housing, what's happening with, because somebody will tell us, hey, who do I call for this happening down the street and this house and it's filled with garbage? I'm not sure, but did I illegally buy food that is being sold? This person did not seem sanitary that was parked on the corner. Well, we see that. And, you know, we actually then respond to that. And we look at that and go, wait, somebody must be selling food they shouldn't be selling.
Well, that's taking public health right to the public.
We take it right to the public, yeah.
But it's just a way of people, and that's sort of how you find out is when there could be sort of gossip going around, and this is a way you'd separate with the data and other things, truth from fiction.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
What's this community health improvement plan? How has that been going? CHIP, as you like to call it.
Sure. There are two huge documents that a lot of people don't know about, but that's normal because this is something that is kind of newer. It hasn't been required by law until within the last 15 years. But a community health assessment and a community health improvement plan, they are the two most important health-related documents that exist in a community. The community health assessment is that tool where we talk to the community. We bring in other partners. We do focus groups. We do one-on-ones. We talk with community leaders, people on the street, and they tell us, this is what I'm sick with. This is what I see. This is what I want. This is the people telling us what they want out of their health systems and their health department. And we're supposed to take that, the hospitals, medical providers, the health department, and put together and work together on a community health improvement plan. So it's taking all that data and information from the CHA and working on the CHIP and coming up with strategies to say, look, if we got diabetes, so much diabetes, for example, when we did our 2022 community health assessment, we found that in a majority of our diseases that we're experiencing at a higher level than the state of Ohio's average. Now, this is Lorain County. This is a progressive county. Why are we not healthier than the state's average? We should be doing better. And so then that community health assessment tells us why it's not. So then what we do is we work with those partners, the hospitals, and again, any other service provider and those community, those grassroots organizations, and say, how do we give us some strategies? Let's work together. Let's come up with some strategies and some plans to reduce infant mortality, to reduce heart disease among younger people. Now we're getting it younger. Instead of in the 60s, we're getting in the 50s. How do we do this? How do we get people convinced to do more screening? How do we get people to get to their doctor? And we realize trust is one of those big things because that's what people told us in the community health assessment. So, you only build trust when you're doing face-to-face. You're talking people face-to-face. You don't just say, go get a vaccine. You go and you talk to them and you say, this is why we want to make a vaccine available to you. Well, you can make that choice or not, but you just don't tell people to do it. And so we've changed a lot of approaches in the last couple of years, especially when infant mortality and a lot of other things that we're doing and where we do our screening at to try to be more advantageous in those one-on-one or those eye-to-eye conversations.
When I've discussed things with the other folks with the health department as well, sometimes I wonder, how do you know what you're doing today has the impact? How long does it take before you see results or know that this is the right track you're taking?
Right. And great question. Some programs, some things that you're trying to change take longer than others. So when you want to, when you're looking at repairing the psychology of a neighborhood, that can take about 3 years. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But when you're looking at how do I reduce flu in a community, Well, that's a quicker response because you look at how many people, what's your vaccination rate, the number of people, and you look at, then you can day by day look at the spread of disease in the community. So you know what your impact is and in some programs right away. In your messaging, and you know what, you know, so we did very well, you know, 4 years ago when it came to getting vaccine, making vaccine available for COVID, and we did very well. We saw what the impact was right away. I mean, we had good results within a month or something like that about what our vaccination rate was as opposed to our infection rate. So it's, and some might take years. So when we talk chronic disease, we're going to talk diabetes, that may take 10 years. For us to be able to see with the things that we put into place, did we start reducing it? Because we can keep you alive longer with diabetes, but that doesn't mean we've solved the problem. That just means more people with diabetes. And that means quality of life goes down for those people that have diabetes. That is not, that's not something you want to get. And, you know, so how do we stop that from happening? And that might take 10 years for us to be able to see what we did.
Talking today with Health Commissioner of Lorain County Public Health, Mark Adams, about a lot of the things they've been doing this past year and things moving forward. What other programs are you working on or had been working on this past year as well?
Sure. One of the other big things was a complete shift in an aspect that we do in environmental health. And so this in that community health assessment, we did learn some other things, even though it wasn't part of one of the priorities. One of the things a lot of people told us was that they were insecure about their housing, they were insecure about their food, and they were also insecure about being able to pay bills. And so what we did is we put together a housing unit. And this housing unit, part of the health department, we're required by law to abate public health nuisances. And that whether it's, you know, a septic system needs replaced, or whether it's garbage, trash, or debris, or whether it's tires on the ground, what we needed to focus more on was the neighborhood, the aspect of the neighborhood. Because everybody's got, I think everybody could see, no matter whether you're in a township or in the city, you'll know that house that you know that's filled with garbage that nobody cares about, that you probably say in your neighborhood, nobody cares about it. I've called my trustee, I've called my city, I've called my health department, I've called everybody, right. Nobody's doing anything about it.
Who owns this property?
Who owns
Where
this?
Is this?
It's a junk house, it's being used for drugs. Well, we said, well, how can we convince people if we're trying to go out in the community and say, hey, we want you to go see a doctor because we want you to reduce heart disease or diabetes. How can I convince you to do that? If you've been calling us, and I don't know, maybe if you've been calling us and nothing's happening, or calling somebody and nothing's happening with this house that is causing, it's a fire, whatever it may be. So when we talk about the psychology of a neighborhood, people start looking at this and they start saying, if nobody cares about this house, nobody cares about me. Then why should I care about cleaning my house? Why should I care about doing my yard? Why should I care about anything? Why should I care about going to the doctor? Nobody cares. And that, you know, when we let neighborhoods get like that, that's what it helps change the psyche of that neighborhood, the psychology of neighborhood. So what we did is we really stepped up that program and added personnel to it. And the objective is to eliminate those problems in the community. And it's not eliminate by tearing down a house. You don't go through and just tear down houses. That doesn't solve the problem either. You go in with education, and you go in with, if you got to do enforcement, you do a little bit of enforcement. But it's really about education and working with neighbors. And if we have to, the health department physically goes in. And we physically abate the nuisance itself. So if it's garbage and trash, we go in and clean up. We partnered with the Elyria and Lorain courts, and on every other Thursday for each of those cities, we use community service workers. We go out with them. We dress down with them. It's not about, hey, you work for us and we're going to go clean this up. It's, listen, it's a public health thing. You're not here just to work. You're actually here. We're going to work with you. You're here helping us fix a problem in a neighborhood. We're going to try to change psychology. And by doing that, they learn something as well. Because in fact, we have 100% return rate with those folks. You know, it's a hard day of work. They could look and say, I'm going to do my community service somewhere else. They always return. They always return for the next week, the next time we're back in that city, to go back and do the same thing. The people, no matter what walk of life, if we show that we actually care, they'll care too. It doesn't take long to change the psychology. But we just, it's it just we have to solve those problems. Open dumping sites that we were on a street just over here in Elyria, and we ended up having to go 7 times to clean it up, but it's clean now. And you know, but then everybody saw that people were driving through there and using it as a dump site, as a in dumping things from all over this county. We found mail and everything from all over this county. People were using it as their private dump site. What does that say to you, that when a neighborhood sees people come in and drop junk off and their garbage off, nobody calls? Nobody says anything, because their psychology is like, nobody cares about
it. And it's not usually the people in that neighborhood for the most part. You don't know, but it could be that, or it's just other people thinking of that neighborhood in such less regard.
Absolutely. And it's people from outside that are doing this, and they don't care about the people in that neighborhood, and the neighborhood is going through that same thing. So we're trying to change that.
Did you know when you became a health commissioner that Lorain County Public Health has so much, and I don't want to use this in the bad way, so much power, or in other words, reach or ability, I guess is the best way?
Yeah, health departments were really, the county health departments were created about 103 years ago. But city health departments have been around for a long time. And when they were created over 150 years ago, for the most part, Cincinnati and Columbus, Cleveland, Canton, Youngstown, when they were created, there was always sort of a law enforcement piece to it, because they were either trying to, they were dealing with filth at the time. So I remember Canton's first board meeting in 1849 was hiring of a nuisance officer so they could go out and write tickets or fine people for letting their pigs do their business in the streets, because people couldn't walk the streets. So there was always that we're trying to fix the environment. You have to, you know, come on, you got to care about it a little bit. You know, it's take the pig to the back or something. And old board minutes are actually a treat to listen to. I promise anybody listening to me, I'm not kidding you, there's great things going on there. And then you started seeing where health departments were like, well, we have to quarantine people because of smallpox, and or because of diphtheria, cholera, typhoid. And so that we stop the spread of disease, well, there has to be a little bit of legal power to be able to do that. But it's, I would say, for me, I was never surprised that learned that the that it's more. I look at it more of our educational reach rather than, because we rarely do the enforcement piece, rarely, but we do the abatement a lot now. I mean, so we do actually go in and, you know, if we have to fix something, we'll fix it. We're talking with that person, and that person saying, yes, please, I need the help. And that is what we want. That's the type of thing we're trying to aim for. Health departments for the longest time have just really just don't do enforcement. In fact, it's been where a lot of folks don't even know that even right. They work for a health department, don't even know.
They know you're mostly related to restaurants or places like
yes.
that. In other words, there may be a citation because of something.
Yeah, that's where the enforcement would be.
That's sort of the known one, where you're thinking, okay, you're trying to protect us from having bad food or something like that.
Too. Right. And that's exactly, so that's where you would see enforcement. I mean, rarely, since I've been at Lorain, we have not had to close a restaurant down. I mean, I think there have been some that have voluntarily done it by highly suggested.
A lot of times you go in just with a friendly reminder.
Right.
Because there's habits that develop that people do because of, you know, they're in a hurry, they're not able to do, and you got to take them back to that fundamental of what keeps things
right
healthy and fresh.
And yeah, when you talk with people that own a restaurant or operating one, they'll tell you that it's very difficult to keep people employed, that it is a revolving industry of personnel, and they've been having an even more tougher time in the last 4 years. So you can get somebody trained, but then that person stays a month or two, and then they go out, and then now they've got to do it again. So it's been an uphill battle the last 4 years for the restaurant industry, for the food service industry, to be able to keep good, trained, qualified people, and they keep running into the same problems over and over.
Well, there's one event that's coming up that we should also talk about that the Lorain County Public Health is sort of involved with. It's the Safe Community Coalition, and all the people for many years have been doing the Zero Proof Mix-Off.
Right.
Which is coming up on Thursday, December 12th at the Spitzer Conference Center, 5:30 to 7:30. Talk about that in a broad sense and maybe specifically what goes on there too.
Sure. This is, for everybody out there, okay, it's a non-alcoholic event, but what they do is they make non-alcoholic drinks that taste somewhat like drinks that you're familiar with, or very much like drinks that you're familiar with, or just a completely different flavor. But I got to tell you, I'm a big fan. I tell the staff this all the time. I'm a big fan of when I hear talking and people communicating. Instead of a lot of times we wrap ourselves up in our phones and we don't communicate with each other. And we're humans. We're supposed to be able, we need that communication piece to survive. And I walk into this room at the Spitzer Conference Center at Lorain County Community College each year. And I'm a huge optimist. I hear all of the conversation. There are hundreds of people there. And when I say that it's busy, I don't mean busy that you got to wait in line for anything. It's a huge venue that you just kind of mill about and you walk up, you talk to the people that you've got 19 community partners there that, I mean, this is a strict competition. They got to come up with some, they got to come up with something special. They got to have, they get voted on for best taste, presentation, and people's choice. So they can't just walk in there and make something and it gets kind of, it's a competition.
Well, they each have a certain space, but they decorate it, they create an atmosphere.
It's a big family friendly event. Yeah. And it is, I can't believe how many people I saw there last year and how much it continues to grow. I just tell people when I talk to them, I suggest, hey, go grab an early dinner and come there after dinner. Bring your family over. Bring anybody over. I promise you, I make a promise, you'll have a good time. You'll be able, even if you're an introvert like me, you'll be able to, nobody believes me when I say that, but you'll be able to actually go there and talk to people and you won't feel uncomfortable. You can walk up to anybody and you'll be able to talk to them, ask them what drink they made. They want to be able to present this to you. They want to, you know, they're like, you're trying to be, one of them's, I think maybe the State Patrol, Highway Patrol will be there. I think they're one of the partners going, this is the time to look at that patrol officer and go, so I want to hear about this drink. You know, tell me what you've made. And they are presenting this to you and they're very proud about it. And they you know, everybody that's talking to you about what they've made, they want to tell you what it is. They want to brag about it, and because they're presenting it to you, and it's you're the audience, and that's what's really cool about it.
Well, it is a presentation because some of them have different accoutrements to put together and do different things, and they all have taken the time in their own kitchens.
That's right.
As individual groups, kind of to come up with something different. Usually, it falls on either the sweet or the sour side.
That's right.
Is where it's usually kind of.
That's right. Know. And you also get a menu. Everything about this is free. Every single thing about this event is free. But you'll get a menu, so that way, you know, I look at it as, you know, certainly it's people are gonna you're gonna use alcohol and you're gonna have a good time when you go out. What we're just trying to show you is, if you could just every so often just look at the other side and go, can I, you know, let me, what's fun look like without having to drink alcohol? We want you to be home safe for the holidays. We want you to be able to get to the family members. And, you know, if you've got a designated driver here, they can actually partake as well. Here they've, you know, that way we can keep them sober to make sure that you get home. But this event is completely non-alcoholic. It's really just showing you that A, it's family friendly, B, that you don't always need alcohol to have a good time, and C, really just to get you out into the public and get to see lots of people, elected, non-elected, are all there, and it's. And for these other community groups are there really just to have a good time and be able to present their drink to you.
Right. And you sort of maybe can also learn about these organizations. Many of them there, obviously, the cause related to Zero Proof Mix-Off, you know, drinking and driving and the issues like that. Some of those agencies are those that are there at this crisis time, or those people that maybe have issues with addiction or something of that nature, too. So sometimes you have a lot of a double sense of that, but you get to see them. And you talked before sort of at that personal level. That's what you get there when you are talking with those groups and organizations.
Yeah, and you brought up a really good point, especially when it comes to those first responders that are there. You know, here's where they get to interact in a completely different setting other than responding to that emergency. And they really get into this because it's a positive surrounding this, because it's everybody's goal to reduce accidents. I brought it up before. My brother was killed in a car accident when he was 16 years old. They were out at a party coming back. Everybody was 17 or younger. So all but one in the car passed away. And so for me, it's a personal mission. You know, how can we, what can we do to promote if we could just get you home? I mean, we can't stop people from drinking, but we could just tune you into the idea that you don't always need to. If you do, that you do something safely, or you make a phone call, get somebody to get you home. you know, what can you do? That wasn't the education piece. I'm in my 50s. That's not what was taught back in the 80s. It was a completely different time. We have all these resources now. They didn't have Lyft. They didn't have that. There was no cabs where I grew up in the country. So, you know, they found their way they found that they needed to drive themselves home. You know, so how do we impart that story that I have onto you to be able to say, I think I can have a good time. And I'm telling you, this is the event where I can prove to you that you can have a good time. You can have a good time with your family, and we'll get you home safe.
Right. A lot of sometimes it's the taste, sometimes it's just the presentation, and that's what happens when you're putting parties together. Again, it's the Zero Proof Mix Off. It's Thursday, December 12th, 5:30 to 7:30, free event at Spitzer Conference Center. You'll get a chance to see all the different drinks and talk with the people there as well. And then I know they have it there, but also usually you get other chances to get the booklet that has the recipes, I guess, is what you'd have.
Yes, I think we post that online as well. So I'm pretty sure that it's not only can you get it there, but we also publicize it for people to be able to get it.
All right. Well, lots going on in this past year with Lorain County Public Health. More for the future as well. Our guest this morning has been Mark Adams, the Health Commissioner. Thanks for stopping in. Appreciate your time.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks for listening to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL. If you missed any of our programs, you can always check out WEOL.com, look at the on-air tab, and you'll find other episodes of North Coast Conversation. I'm Bruce Van Dyke. You're listening to AM 930 WEOL.